RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And Beyond the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard special coverage of the Washington Commanders relocating, potentially, to RFK Stadium in downtown D.C. Exciting morning, obviously, for the team, for the future. A lot of you guys out there have been to Redskins games over the years at RFK Stadium. Have great memories, the seat cushions, the shaking stadiums, all that. I'm not of that generation. My memories are Nats baseball there, the first year DC United soccer, that sort of thing. So I'm excited about the potential, the possibility, obviously. We're going to take you live to DC here momentarily. DC Mayor Muriel Bowser is presenting the RFK plan at a press conference here that is scheduled to start momentarily. Reminder, we did draft recap in hour number one. So if you want draft recap, grab the Odyssey app, hit the rewind button, rewind to hour number one. We covered the draft here. Hour number two, we'll probably focus on the stadium starting at 11:30 when the doors open here. We are live from Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. So if you're in the West End, come on out. Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck, right off Broad Street near Short Pump. We've got Commanders rally towels. Celebrate the draft, celebrate this stadium news with me and AWOD. AWOD will be here until 3. That's when Burger Night starts. Richmond's OG Burger Night, in fact. While we are waiting for this press conference to start, the team posted a video online of Joe Theismann narrating the return to RFK. So let's hear that now.
I can still hear the crowds. When I first stepped into RFK Stadium, I knew I'd found a home. The roar of the fans, the energy of the city, united as one, was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. RFK Stadium was the stage for the world's greatest in sports, culture, and entertainment. All in the heart of our nation's capital. It's time to revive that legacy. Let's bring the Commanders home. A new stadium will serve as the anchor for the RFK site, unlocking new opportunities for generations to come. This means new housing, new restaurants, retail, and public spaces are all possible. The stadium development will create new access to the Anacostia waterfront while preserving some of our city's treasures. A world-class city deserves a world-class stadium. Uniting a sea of burgundy and gold. Something that unites us in our pride for the district. The time is now. Let's bring Washington back to D.C.
Joe Theismann giving you the chills on a Monday morning. You're listening to 910 The Fan's live coverage of the return to RFK for the Washington Commanders, the city and team, jointly presenting that plan at a press conference right now. Let's go out live to the district where the press conference has begun. But of course, the main topic, NFL draft recap and the exciting news. We are counting down to 11:30. That's when we'll be live from Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. Come on out to the West End. AWOD Radio live noon to 3, the whole show. We'll do the last half hour live out there. Great food, great drinks, great company. And today only, we've got a stack of Commanders rally towels. So if you want to get yourself a Commanders rally towel, get ready for the upcoming season. Capitol Ale House is the place. We will post up there here in just a little bit at 11:30. Very much looking forward to that. Of course, between here and there, we're going to get you caught up on the Commanders draft this weekend. Coming out of the draft, I want to go specifically into people, and I want to hear from some people smarter than me too, because that's a good way for all of us to get smarter on these things. Coming into the weekend, I felt like this draft would determine how I felt about the team's balance, offense to defense. I don't know that I felt it would change how I viewed how this year's team will fare. And I think I largely come out the same way. I don't know that this was an earth-shattering draft. Right? If you're a Giants fan, I think this draft fundamentally changes how you look at the team. If you're a Jaguars fan, this draft changes things. If you're a Titans fan, of course, having the number one pick always changes things. If you're a Steelers fan, I think you feel pretty good about Aaron Rodgers coming out of this, and we'll get to Shedeur Sanders and Mel Kiper, who made himself the story by riding Shedeur Sanders and his cause all weekend long. We will get to all that, but I want to start with the Commanders, because limited number of picks, late picks, right? We're staying up late Thursday, then Friday turning it in early. Not as much ammunition to get better. But the reason for that was they felt they needed to get better right now, and they made some trades to do that. And I think that was a great decision for them to go get Laremy Tunsil, to go get Deebo Samuel. I wouldn't redo that for the guys who ended up getting drafted. Of course, we know they wanted to trade back. They weren't able to trade back. Everybody wanted to trade back in this draft. Sometimes you just got to turn the card in. And that's what they did. Now, first round pick goes offense. I love it. I love an offensive lineman. But certainly you look at the body of work here in terms of what they brought in. The glaring omission is pretty obvious right out of the gate. There's no edge rusher. I don't think there's going to be an edge rusher in the late season kind of guys who get cut cleanup period. I'm sure there will be a guy, but it won't be like a game-changing guy. It'd be more, you know, if they can find the Noah Brown of edge rushing. I think we'd all be happy about that at this point. Somebody come in, grab a few snaps away from Cleveland Farrell, a few snaps away from Dorrance Armstrong. But on the whole, this is going to look like it did last year, which was not a menacing pass rush. And Dante Fowler leaves. He was your number one guy on that count. You're putting a lot of trust in Dan Quinn. You're putting a lot of trust in Joe Witt that they're going to keep this defense rolling. I don't disagree with any of the picks, though. So it's also hard. I'm a big believer in that. When we do draft critique, and y'all are welcome to call in, you know the number. When you do draft critique, though, You gotta take somebody off the board and put somebody on the board. You can't say they should have got an edge rusher. Okay, you gotta tell me which edge rusher you wanted, who was available, and which of these picks you're turning back in to make that edge rusher happen. No hypothetical trades. That's not how any of this works. If you want to trade in one of these picks for one of the edge rushers who is available at the time of that pick, all right, now we can have that discussion. We can do that at 11:30 when we're live down at Capitol Ale House giving away rally towels. So come on down, join us there for that. Until then, you can only deal in reality, unless you're Mel Kiper, of course. The rest of us are out here dealing in reality. And in reality, every pick they made represented a need this year's team has. Every pick they made represents somebody who has a very clear path to playing time and to a future with this team. And So you can't throw any of them back. It was a team with more needs than picks this year. You don't often say that about NFC title game teams, but that's where the Washington Commanders landed. We talked on Friday about Josh Connerly. I love the pick. I love bulking up the offensive line. I love giving Jaden Daniels what he needs up there. I haven't changed that take over the weekend. I think you've got a really strong O-line here going left to right, right? You Laremy Tunsil's your left tackle. Connerly's your right tackle. And then I think you're moving Brandon Coleman in, at least to start with here, because Sam Cosmi's going to be out. You remember, Sam Cosmi tore his ACL in that Lions playoff game. So Sam Cosmi out, which means I think you put Brandon Coleman in at right guard, which means Allegretti's going to be your left guard. Wiley's going to be your swing backup guy. Of course, Tyler Biadasz at center. I love me some Tyler Biadasz. That has not changed. The offseason has not dimmed my enthusiasm for the throw to Terrion Cincy or for Tyler Biadasz, a guy who helped fix this offensive line. Both important things for us to continue to enjoy even in this offseason. And the London Fletcher laugh, which we'll always enjoy as well. So you've got a very strong offensive line left to right. I think you're good enough at tight end. You know, I need that Ben Sinnott jump because that's a primo position in the NFL right now. But between Ertz and Bates, you have what you need there. And if you run a two tight end set, you've got really good protection for Jaden Daniels, which is really important. Trey Amos in round two, corner. I said all week they needed a corner. I don't think anybody disagreed on that one. Marshawn Lattimore is going to start for this team at corner. I am exceptionally nervous about that. I know all the talk. You read John Keim, Nikki Javal, all these people, all the talk. They took Amos. That means they're going to be able to push Mike Sanders still inside. I don't think they're going to rush that. I think Sanders still was good outside, and I don't think you go into a season saying, we've got Marshawn Lattimore, a dude who melted down in multiple big situations last year, and Trey Amos, second-round rookie, job's done here. Nothing to worry about, folks. We got this under control. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they will very slowly walk Sanders still back in. I wouldn't be even a little bit surprised if he's an opening day outside starter at corner. If he's outside and then Lattimore and Amos split snaps on the other side, I think that gives you time to figure out what you've got, because I don't think we know what we've got at that position yet. And you've got guys who can play inside. You got Jonathan Jones who can play inside. You got Noah Igbinoghene who can give you depth across the board. And then, of course, whatever the safety situation is. So I don't think that Trey Amos is necessarily like, he's an outside starter, Lattimore is an outside starter, we're done here. I think they're still a little shaken out, still to come there. Jalen Lane, of course, we love the Hokies. Love seeing a Hokie come on the board. Wide receiver, but more than that, kick and punt returner. I think that is his immediate starting role. You certainly need a receiver. We all assume Terry is going to get an extension, that'll happen. I'm not worried about that at all. Right now, you've got Noah Brown lining up opposite him. Jalen Lane can take some of those snaps, right? A la Olamide Zaccheaus, right? You get a second guy there who can take some of those snaps, ride the hot hand. But I think this addresses a potential very big need that had gone under the radar, which is kick and punt returner, especially given the new rules, especially given that there's going to be more kicks returned this year. The NFL is estimating that with the change in touchback rules, touchback goes to the 35 now, that instead of 30% of the kicks being returned, 60% of them are going to be returned. That means you need a returner. It's not Austin Ekeler. Too many concussions there, too many injury risks. It's Jalen Lane. And then you've got Kane Medrano, linebacker. I don't have any thoughts on him. Obviously, his position coach is with the Commanders. His college position coach is here. That's a fine enough endorsement for me. They needed a linebacker. Right now, by my count, they've got two starting caliber linebackers. And I think they're only going to play two at any given time. But having the exact number is not what you want in the NFL. So he'll bring very needed depth there. I'm sure he can play on some special teams. I'm curious, too. He can play that hybrid role. He can slide into linebacker. He can slide back to safety. And I think they've got a few guys who could do that. Do they have a money backer style position when this is all said and done? I think they might. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things to watch for at training camp and then into the season as far as how they align these guys in the linebacking core and in the secondary. And then your final pick, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. This is everything I want from a seventh round pick right here. Y'all know I love the high ceiling usually, and this is no exception. Seventh round pick, high ceiling, didn't really play this year. Didn't play this year because there was a mix-up with his college eligibility, and he ended up in a spot where he had to sit for most of the year. Speed's good, strength's good. He's an unknown because he didn't play, and so I'm curious to see what he turns into in training camp. You never have too many running backs on the roster. You never have too many fresh legs. We know that from past years, right? You got three active usually. You want at least a couple more on the practice squad, on the 53, ready to step in at any given time. So I like all the picks at face value, at positional value, without digging into, you know, each guy's back story and film and all that. We'll get the experts to do that here in a minute. I like all the picks at face value. Now it's off to training camp, to OTAs, to mini camp, to the works. So we march on towards the season. If you're getting fired up for football, come visit us. Capital Ale House will be there starting at 11:30, giving away Commanders rally towels. That's the Innsbruck location. We'll see you out in Innsbruck at 11:30. It's burger night out there starting at 3, but come have lunch with us. Hang out, talk NFL draft, talk Shedeur Sanders, talk Mel Kiper. We've got an important pumpkin pie update. We'll get to that before today's show ends as well. First, we're going to dig a little deeper on the draft picks. We're going to do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Hey, it's up on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Little road show this morning. Thrilled to be out at Capital Ale House in Innsbruck with my guy, Awad. He takes over at noon. Take you up to 3 o'clock. You heard just now the dignitaries lining up to say their piece about a new Washington Commanders stadium, getting details on that, seeing our first renderings of what it'll look like. Save the date, September 2030. We'll be up there doing a show from the Stadium District. Opportunity to see the new place, and certainly the renderings look really cool. The financial statement here is pretty wild. $2.7 billion from the Harris Group to build it. That will make it the second most expensive stadium ever built, and that's globally. That's not just in America, behind SoFi Stadium. Up where the old RFK Stadium is, Mitch Harris puts out a statement calling it a once-in-a-generation catalyst for uplifting and transforming our region. As far as the name goes, I will be curious what, you know, I'm sure it will have a corporate name. Obviously, my hunch is nobody's going to call it by whatever that corporate name is. It is my gut that this will be RFK through and through when it opens, or RFK 2.0, or however people refer to it. I'll be curious how those naming rights end up, because you remember Nationals Park, they were close on naming deals for a while, couldn't get one done before it opened. That stadium is still unnamed. That's a revenue source that that was left off the board there. I don't think there's going to be any revenue sources left off the board for these guys. 2029, and that's just a few years away, is the projected opening date for the plaza, the shops, restaurants, all that nearby. So we got time to discuss that. We got time to get to the bottom of that. Right now, though, we got a team to put on the field for this upcoming season. The NFL draft is in the books. Washington chooses to go offensive line in the first round. I said I would cheer an offensive line selection. I made an offensive line selection. I will cheer bringing Josh Connerly Jr. into the fold here in Washington, D.C. You've got your tackle situation covered. You've got Laremy Tunsil blocking the blind side right now. I would assume Connerly is your day one starter at right tackle. Wouldn't surprise me to see him out there week one. Obviously, you've got options. Brandon Coleman can play that position as well. We saw him play that tackle position last year at left tackle. And I don't think anybody's suggesting he didn't do a great job. I don't think that anybody was saying you got to bench the guy. But I think we all agree if you can get better at a key position, you get better at a key position. It gives you the opportunity to move him into the guard spot. They are taking questions at the press conference now. We'll keep you posted as that goes on. Roger Goodell on hosting a Super Bowl in D.C. I didn't come here to announce that, but I would say the chances just increased dramatically. Looking forward to Bud Light Big Game Week from D.C. That's the home show, basically. We'll do that. So they're showing pictures of the new stadium, doing all that. Jalen Lane, another pick I love, certainly. Love bringing local talent in. I also love not ignoring special teams in the draft. And I think people sleep on how important the returners are going to be and the return game's going to be in this upcoming season. They're going to change the kickoff rules. It used to be a touchback went to the 30-yard line. This year, a touchback's going to go to the 35-yard line. And so the NFL is projecting that kickoff returns, right now kickoffs are being returned at about 30% rate last year. Kickoffs are going to be returned a lot more often. The NFL's projecting as high as 60% of kickoffs are going to be returned next season. And if you have that, if you have to return 60% of your kickoffs, you better have a dude who knows how to return him. I don't think that's Austin Ekeler. I think the concussion is probably a disqualifier for him. He's had a lot of injuries. He's probably closer to the end of his career than he is the start of his career. I think you want to keep him safe for the run game, for the screen game, for all those things he does really well. And I think it was imperative to bring in a returner, a punt returner as well, obviously. I think you get that in Jalen Lane. You know, we always love the tech guys around here, of course. Plenty of them over the years. D'Angelo Hall, among the most famous in that group. But we've had lots of Virginia Tech players roll through here. Always fun to have local impact, local guys be a part of this team. And you know, I've had a chance at super local guy in Travion Henderson. Ultimately, he goes to the Patriots. He'll go up to New England. Two local players getting drafted in the draft's first 2 days. Trey Amos, your other marquee pick, the only day two selection. Don't let that confuse you, though. They made a lot of selections in this draft. You just already know who they are. They're Deebo Samuel. They're Marshawn Lattimore and Laremy Tunsil. Those three selections were already made long before the draft started. And when you have a franchise quarterback and a franchise quarterback on a rookie contract, you don't play around. You get veteran guys. You get guys who are ready to play right away because you know, and this is what the Chiefs know, and this is what the Patriots knew back then, guys want to play here. You remember that from our Super Bowl shows. Guys want to play here in Washington, D.C. right now. Guys want to be with a franchise quarterback. And so you can get an older player, right? You can use a draft pick on an older guy instead of a younger guy and know that whenever he's done, somebody new is going to be ready to come here and fill that spot. That's a luxury they haven't had in a really long time. I'm intrigued by Kane Medrano. I'm sure Awad and I will jump into that when we crosstalk here in a bit. I think he's a hybrid guy. I think they've got a few guys at this linebacker safety spot who play that hybrid. The money backer was what they called it in Arizona. They've got a few different guys that they can do some different things. Bring in a hybrid safety linebacker, which helps you out at both positions. Those are two of the weaker spots on this team. So if you can find creative ways to use those guys, get them on the field, I think that's a positive. And, of course, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, JCM, coming in at running back. It's a stacked room. You're going to have to try to get somebody to the practice squad who maybe is going to be a vulnerability coming out of training camp this year, right? Is it Jeremy McNichols, who was so influential in the pass game, so good at that pass pickup, that pass protection for Jaden Daniels? Is it Chris Rodriguez? Are you going to try to sneak him to the practice squad? He's a bruising runner, but you can find a lot of those. Those guys exist in the NFL right now. We'll see what Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt has to offer. A bit of a wild card there, of course. Did not play except one game this season because his eligibility got mixed up. What a throwback that is, back when eligibility was a thing that mattered in college and people kept track of those things. Although, did you see that Fordham University got recruiting sanctions? If that is not the old NCAA joke, right? The NCAA got so mad at Kentucky that they took it out on Cleveland State. Man, Fordham getting punished by the NCAA. What are we even doing here? Knocking them down with a new coach, too. Wild to see that. In a lawless land, there are still laws, but only for Fordham University in the Bronx. But it's an NFL show. We'll, of course, talk a little Shadur, get Adam's thoughts on that as he slides all the way to day three. You're going to have to fight for his job now with the Cleveland Browns. And I wonder if they release him, if they send him to the practice squad, if he doesn't have value again now on a practice squad, away from this pressure of will he start, will he not. I wouldn't mind keeping him on a practice squad for a year, giving him an opportunity to develop, to see what he's got. And we don't know what he's got at the NFL level. Made some great plays in college, for sure. He's somewhere, poor man's Caleb Williams comes to mind, right? A guy who probably dances around a little too much, tries too hard to make plays. But when he does, when it works, is spectacular. The actual Caleb Williams going to be under a lot of heat this season as well. You know I want to talk puck with my guy Awad. We'll do that. Reminder, we are at Capital Ale House hanging out. I'll be here for the next hour. Awad will be here until 3. Come on by, get a Commander's Rally towel. In my lifetime, I don't think there's ever been more juice around this football team than there is right now. Yeah, there's the stadium announcement. Yeah, there's the draft. But the ownership group, Jaden Daniels, I remember the RG3 year. I think that was close, but it went away so quickly, and it ended so poorly. I think this is the most juice there's ever been around this football team in my lifetime, and that includes probably some really good eras of football. There were, you know, certainly Norv Turner won, right? There were some moments where it felt like things were going around, things were about to happen, but this is, I think, the most sustainable success we've seen from them in a really long time. It's fun to be a part of, fun to be with you guys. It's a Monday morning. We're Capital Ale House in Innsbruck. Come on by. And CSAWAD takes over at noon. We'll crosstalk, send it off to him. On the other side, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Yep, you're the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. What an exciting day in Washington Commanders news. We are, of course, your home of the Washington Commanders, and we're here at Capital Ale House in Innsbruck. Come on out to the West End. Hang out with us. Everybody else is. All the cool kids are doing it. We'll be here. AWOD will be here until 3. I won't be here until 3, but I'll be hanging out for a little while, greeting the people, doing the things, eating the burgers, all those things. We get the burger service over here, right?
Michael, I'm going to take care of you. Believe me, one of the best burgers in town. My favorite thing to do here at Capital Ale House, get yourself a cheeseburger, add bacon, make it piggy.
You don't have to tell me to add bacon. We'll take care of business on that. Don't you worry. A couple folks have already come by and joined us today.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That was exciting.
We've got all these rally towels for Commanders fans that we had during our playoff rally as well that says anybody, anywhere, anytime. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. If you're a Commanders fan, come on down to Capital Ale House and grab this free rally towel. So much to talk about today in terms of the Commanders.
So, rally towels. Let's talk about this because I think the style changed a couple years ago and nobody let me know. It used to be, I think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think about an absorbent towel, right? The Steelers terrible towel you could take home and, like, if you have a spill, use it. But this is the new thing, because I brought back one of these from the Caps game the other day, too. It's a sleeker, like, it could absorb something, but it's kind of a sleeker, more display-oriented towel. Like, this will look better hanging on your wall as opposed to, like, being functional. I like it overall.
Yeah, I remember going back to training camps that were here in Richmond for the Redskins, also the one that was, like, in Philadelphia or whatever, Pennsylvania, far away, that my dad took me when I was a kid. We would get towels there that were hotel towels that had the Redskins logo printed on it. So those were, like, real towels.
Wow.
That you would, and then you would get your, you know, Sean Taylor sign. I had a Sean Taylor signed one. I had LaRon Landry. I had Santana Moss, Clinton Portis, and I would hang those on my wall. And those did not last. Like, the logo would start falling off. I think these are made to last. And you're right.
They're made to be displayed.
Yeah, I mean, if you sweat, you're gonna wipe here. I'm not sure how much of this is going to get absorbed, but it's going to very much look good on display.
But the Caps gave that out the other night, too, at Game 1, and I liked it there as well. So it's clearly we've had a change in the rally towel manufacturing industry.
Let me see. Does it still swing?
Oh,
it's swinging.
It swings. I did some swinging there. Game 1. Capitals up 3-1, by the way. How big was that Tom Wilson hit? Changed the game, tilted the ice, get to 2-2. Love that guy.
Yeah, and then
glad he plays on our team.
And then I love putting the game away. 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, good night, that's all she wrote.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe.
Because I do feel like in playoff hockey, we see this all the time. You pull the goalie, all of a sudden you get a goal. Because you have the man advantage there. It's so tough when you're defending. So, man, good game for the Caps, and there's so much positive things
good
going
juice.
On for DC Sports. I mean,
yeah.
It just feels like the Wizards are going to win the lottery in a couple weeks now because everything's moving right for DC Sports right now. New stadium, new players, maybe a new Stanley Cup. I mean, it's all going down.
Wood and DC with the Nats.
Yeah.
The Nats have some dudes.
That comeback was fantastic.
Right? And a nice series against the O's.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to like with the Nats as well. Like, give Rizzo his credit. I mean, that dude, all they do, they're like, why don't you go shopping for some players? Here's $4.
Yeah.
And all he does is come back with a solid professional outfit. I just think he deserves more credit than he gets. Like, nobody gives out Executive of the Year Award for winning 80 games. But dang if it doesn't feel like he deserves it.
Well, how many Nats fans did you see turning their back on Davey Martinez just 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right? Now, all of a sudden, oh, he's a great manager again.
Genius.
Where was everybody that said, fire him, he can't win games?
I am a huge believer that the manager doesn't matter as much as people think it does.
Oh, really? That's a hot take.
I am a huge believer
in
that.
So you don't think tinkering with the lineup matters? You don't think when to pull the starting pitcher matters, when to pull the relief pitcher,
right,
when to switch from lefty to righty?
All of those except the pitcher. Pulling the pitcher is the most important decision you make as a manager, full stop. But it's the day-to-day. It's managing the club.
Dude, I think
like they come.
You got a big at-bat in the bottom of the seventh with two outs, and you know you've got Josh Bell up, but you've got a guy that's a designated hitter that's ready to come in, and he's better against righties than this guy. I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into it, especially with analytics now. The analytics in baseball, I mean, Moneyball changed everything.
It did, but like the manager's not thinking that out in real time. He's got it on a sheet of paper in front of him. Like somebody else has thought that out ahead of time for the manager, and they've written it out on a sheet of paper for him. Like if we're doing importance of coaches in major sports,
yeah,
the NFL coach is the most important.
Yes.
The NHL coach is the second most important because you got all the line shifts. Like you got last change. Like there's a lot going on there. But there's a gap. Third is Major League Baseball. Fourth is NBA.
I will agree. Fourth is the NBA. The coaches do absolutely nothing. They cash paychecks.
I haven't put soccer in there. I'm tempted to put soccer between 2 and 3, but maybe elevate it to number 2.
I mean, did you know that in soccer, you start 11 guys, you've got probably 10 more on the bench, but you can only use 3 of them? That complicates things, Michael.
But then I went to the Kickers game the other night. Apparently, they get to use 5.
Well,
they have like bonus.
They've expanded how many subs you can use since COVID because they're trying to make sure that everybody stays healthy and things like that. They don't want you to get overtired.
Shout out to the Kickers. Wild environment the other. This was like a week and a half ago. We went out to the game. The other team like is openly taunting the Red Army.
Really?
It was a scene, man.
And so I love to hear
the
that.
The guy scores a goal for the other team and goes and like does the like slide on his knees like the Jesus move
in front of
the Red Army. They threw beer at him.
That's good.
It was wild. It was
Kickers
a wild.
Games are so much fun.
Great. They do the smoke bombs and all that. They do a lot out there, CC. They got the big TV now. I love the big TV.
If you sit near the end zone and close your eyes, you can almost feel like you're in Europe with like the chants and the drummer and everything.
More humidity, though.
Yeah.
Because it's Richmond. All right. AY joins us for Crosstalk. As mentioned 6 minutes ago, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. Do you have a favorite pick? Do you have one that you keep coming back to? Give me your draft breakdown here.
The only pick that I don't love is Kane Medrano, linebacker out of UCLA. But every other pick, like you can – at first I liked Josh Connery, didn't love it. Now I'm starting to fall in love with the idea of Jaden Daniels being protected and a guy that he can grow with, right? That could be his starting right tackle for the foreseeable future. Coleman, maybe you're starting left tackle once Laramie Tunsil moves on. The Trey Amos pick takes a lot of pressure off of Lattimore and Sainer still. And Jalen Lane, we did not talk about enough how important special teams is going to be for this team. The dynamic kickoff is here to stay. Punt returning was an issue this year. Jalen Lane, I think, solves a lot of your special teams problems. And he can do a lot of things that Jameson Crowder can do as well in terms of slot receiver, get him the ball in space, and he'll make a guy miss.
I circle back on my initial point. You're welcome to call in, and you're welcome to say, MP, they should have taken an edge. Like, I get that. They should have taken an edge. You got to tell me which of these guys you're throwing back into the pond, though, right? Like, you got. It's not just, oh, they should have gotten an edge. They made these selections. You have to give one of them up and tell me which edge was available then that you'd rather have. It's not quite as simple as just, oh, they should have taken an edge.
Right, and Adam Peters will argue we brought in bodies. We've got guys, Dietrich Wise, Cleland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong, Jacob Martin, right, Andre Jones Jr., Javonte Jean-Baptiste. But I changed my perspective on this on Saturday after rounds one and round two, where they went – not edge rusher round one. Kind of surprised everyone. Then round two, we all thought, all right, it has to be edge. It was not edge. I'm starting to believe that the reason Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr. believes they lost games were the explosive pass plays they gave up in the air. Yeah. That's a big part of it. That and Jaden not having time, right? I mean, you look at week one, all right? That's still going to stick in their minds, the Tampa Bay game. Jaden was down 17-0 to blink an eye because nobody could guard Mike, I'm forgetting his name now. Mike Evans, yeah. on Tampa Bay, right? So I think that was the bigger deal, was that the secondary, if you can't stop the run, that's death by 1,000 cuts.
The problem is they traded for Marshawn Lattimore, and then he couldn't stop Mike Evans either. It's been a bit of a recurring issue. And then Tampa takes another receiver who's going to be the next Mike Evans. They're going to be dealing with that for a while. I think the Trey Amos pick is fascinating from the Marshawn Lattimore perspective, right? We'd all love for him to break out at camp this year. Oh, it was just the Achilles. He's good now. I think everybody's making plans as though maybe that was indication of a more permanent slide.
I do not blame Adam Peters at all for taking a swing on Marshawn Lattimore, even if it was a swing and a miss, because your team was 7-2. Like, we talked about this, Michael. They were 4-2, and there were trade rumors. Then they won three straight games,
Yeah. Right?
And they got to 7-2. At that point, I would have rioted if they didn't make a trade, because that's what a good general manager does. He sniffs out a Super Bowl contending team at 7-2 halfway through the season, and you decide, let's go all in. And you trade for Lattimore, and it's a swing. And it could be a swing and a miss, but you have to swing in that moment there. So this pick with Amos takes pressure off Lattimore, kills two birds with one stone, because Sane Ristill can go back inside. That was the plan you talked about when they drafted him, was for him to be inside. So I just think they've made a lot of improvements on both sides of the ball.
All right, A-Wide Radio, 3 hours, live and local, at Capital Ale House in Innsbruck. And I heard you have a very special guest sitting next to you during today's show.
Oh, I've got a very special guest, Michael Phillips.
Oh, wow.
MP on the mic. MP on the mic. It takes a lot to get him here to Capital Ale House.
I got to promise
him a burger.
Oh,
I got to get him fries. He wants a beer as well.
I hit the Cap Ale downtown all the time. It's one block from our office.
Yeah.
I never come out to the West End. This is a real treat for me to see how the
one
West
block
is.
From your office, not one block from my office in Odyssey, Richmond. Michael Phillips, forgetting he's not on Richmonder.org right now.
All right, A-Wide Radio, 3 hours live and local, coming at you. NFL Draft Recap, Stadium Talk, Caps up 3-1, all of it. We're back tomorrow. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. What a morning to be with you on the wrap-up. I was going to say Eve. What's the opposite of Eve? The post-NFL draft program, that is the word I'm looking for. NFL draft in the books, wrapping up the Commanders, wrapping up our hour of wrapping up the NFL draft. So if you miss it, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. I don't think you'll want to use it, though, when we get to 11 o'clock, because we are going live to the District of Columbia, the sports capital, as it is being billed, and some marketing materials this morning, where they are scheduled to announce a new stadium at the RFK site for the Washington Commanders. Obviously, it's been talked about forever. I remember talking to Bruce Allen about this in 2015 for sure, probably before that. So at least 10 years of talking about this. It's a reality. It is flying towards that, pending D.C. City Council approval. The Washington Commanders are coming home. There is also the caveat we will note, there is a citizen-led drive to put it on the ballot instead of just letting city council approve it. Right now, that's not going anywhere. We'll update you, obviously, if that turns into something. I believe they need 20,000 signatures of people who sign that they want to put it on the ballot to get it considered for the ballot. Seems like a long shot, although we've had 10 years of speed bumps, so who knows what's around the next corner. But at 11 o'clock, we'll take out live to D.C. I'm sure you'll hear from Mayor Muriel Bowser. You'll also hear, of course, from Josh Harris, the owner and managing partner of the Washington Commanders. I say managing partner because there are 17 people who put their money in to buy the team. This obviously a huge part of that investment is moving the team to a new stadium, new site, new revenue opportunities. Is going to be stupid expensive to buy tickets down there. Everything around there is going to be expensive. That's part of the deal. But it's also going to be a much nicer atmosphere than FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium, whatever we're calling it these days. More accessible to more people, including us from Richmond, sliding up there. What does it mean for training camp? Because the RFK site is so small and they want to maximize it with other stuff, it would not surprise me at all if they keep some kind of training presence in Virginia or in Maryland as part of this deal, if they don't move everybody down there full-time to RFK. We will see how that develops. Obviously, a lot of questions. Maybe we'll get some of them answered in the 11 o'clock hour. Of course, we'll be at Capitol Ale House when the doors open at 11:30. Looking forward to that as well. Should be really fun day to be hanging out at Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. Don't go downtown in Innsbruck. Come visit us there. Should be awesome. We'll be celebrating. We got Commanders rally towels. Whether you're celebrating the stadium, the draft, or just that the team went to the NFC title game last year. After decades of mediocrity, there is no bad reason to come down to Capitol Ale House and celebrate. So looking forward to that for sure. I mentioned the Squirrels. Squirrels lost 16-7 yesterday. Enough said about the Squirrels. We'll bring Trey on tomorrow. We'll get the update. Washington Capitals, though. Credit to Montreal. What an atmosphere up there. It just came through loud and clear on the TV boat game. What an incredible playoff hockey atmosphere. A town that obviously loves the playoffs and the sport. Kudos to them. And they put them on the ropes, got the win in game three, and then had them down last night. Tom Wilson, big hit to start the things, and then here is the goal that made the difference.
And Van Riemsdyk alertly will play it ahead, and Montreal is going to put Caulfield to the bench. Big line trading and heading off. Here's Mangiapane coming down the middle. He scores! Andrew Mangiapane scores from the high slot, coming into the zone. He just beat Jakub Dobesh with 3:37 to go in the third. It's 3-2 Washington.
Add on an empty netter, 5-2, your final there. You heard John Walt on the Washington Capitals Radio Network on our sister station. The Fan in D.C. also available on the Odyssey app in case you want to catch some hockey Wednesday night game 5 in the district, the sports capital, you may have heard. Sports capital will be buzzing. Chance to close out the series at home, not have to take another trip up to Canada. Unfortunately, the Carolina Hurricanes are going to get the same against the Devils. They are up 3-1, headed back home. Two overtime game for them in game 3. We love to see that. Unfortunately, looks like they are on the verge of slamming the door as well. That should be a phenomenal series. If that comes to fruition, I will get our guy Zach up here. Zach McHugh, noted Canes fan. We'll see what we got here. See what the Caps have, because Carolina is a team that was built to win the Cup. Montreal was not. Montreal's a young team. It was going to be a hard out in the future. And love that. Love their fight. Love that team. Love that town. Love their energy. But this was a series Washington needs to win and is on the verge of winning, especially once Montreal went to the young goaltender. Those are the hockey concerns, but this is a football-centric program, folks. Did our NFL draft recap, certainly. Excited for Josh Connerly. Great to hear from some folks about him, and we'll revisit that if we have time after the press conference as well. But the major news this morning, Washington Commanders. The Commanders. Left hand up. Washington Commanders are close to a deal to bring the stadium back to Washington, D.C. at the RFK site. You will hear that press conference live on the other side of this break. Mayor Muriel Bowser, owner Josh Harris, and more hear their plans for downtown D.C. It's hour number two of MP on the Mic, a very special edition. You'll hear the press conference. We'll be at Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. Doors open at 11:30. We got Commanders rally towels for you. Come visit. This is 910
The Fan. 910
The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Keeping you up to date on the most important stories in the sporting world. Of course, that is Mel Kiper's love for pumpkin pie, as we shared with you on Friday. Mel Kiper shared during the draft, the many hours of draft coverage, that he eats a pumpkin pie every day, day and a half, but he does not eat the entire pumpkin pie. Mel Kiper, no, eats the inside of the pumpkin pie and leaves the crust, which was, of course, the most important thing to emerge from the draft round one. We'll get to Shadur in a minute. We got to get to the pie thing first because Mel Kiper is not done giving crazy food takes.
How do you eat pizza? I take the cheese off.
That's
bread?
I'm out.
What do you do with it?
I didn't realize you just don't eat it right away.
No,
I didn't realize you didn't eat in front of people. That's why.
I usually give it. Kim loves cheese. My wife loves cheese. So usually I'll take off. Give me that.
That's why you were fascinated by the fact that when they bring the food out on college games.
Oh, yes. I keep an eye on Reese. Reese, the first one to grab it. He didn't even look and see what it is.
Is that the last Mel Kiper culinary update? It probably is. I hope it is. I can't learn anything else about Mel Kiper's culinary tastes. ESPN draft analyst eats pumpkin pie, but not the crust. Only store-bought pumpkin pies. Does not eat in front of other people. And when he eats pizza, takes the cheese off and just eats the rest. That's enough Mel Kiper food knowledge for all of us for the rest of our lives, I believe. Mel became the main character of the draft this weekend, not because of his food tastes, although certainly that is main character energy right there. Mel became the main character of the draft when he kept going to bat for Shadur Sanders over and over and over and over. And in the face of some pretty good evidence of why what was going on was going on. But Mel Kiper was not going to hear that. Here we go on day three, Mel Kiper on quarterback evaluation.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback, they don't.
That, of course, about Shadur Sanders, who slid into day three of the draft. The first round was never a given because it was a few teams that needed a quarterback, and they chose to go other ways. The Giants came back for Jackson Dart. The Steelers are, I think, choosing Aaron Rodgers. Nobody really knows. That's its own situation there. And then the Saints, who made their own choice to not take him. But then the second round goes by, and then the third, and it becomes harder at that point because you got a lot of teams that just didn't do the research because they thought he was going to be gone or because he wasn't interested in doing the research. This is as close as I think as we can get to a reason to the Shadur slide. This is Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network.
I spoke last night with one general manager who is considering taking Shadur Sanders today. He pointed back all the way to March 2024 and something that Shadur's father, Deion Sanders, said on a podcast talking about both Shadur and Travis Hunter, saying that if they are drafted by a team that they don't want to go to, he's going to step in and pull an Eli, meaning force those players to not actually go to that team and try to get them traded. Throughout the pre-draft process, Shadur Sanders very much proceeded as if he was dictating to clubs where he was going to go rather than how the draft works, which is the other way around. And there were a bunch of opportunities missed at the various checkpoints through that pre-draft process. Go all the way back to All-Star season. Instead of going to the Senior Bowl, he went to the East-West Shrine Bowl in his backyard in Dallas. Despite an NFL memo saying if you go to these All-Star games, you have to practice, Shadur chose not to. At the Combine, it is now well documented. Some of his formal interviews did not go well. One assistant coach told me in all his years it was the worst formal interview he'd ever been through. People said that Shador was trying to dictate how he wanted things to go and made them feel small. Even at the Pro Day, the entire Big 12 have an event in Dallas. Shador was there but did not work out. He had a showcase instead in Colorado. All of which is to say, for a player who had a variety of questions both about the talent level, how he would fit into an NFL system, how he would adjust from his play style in college, but also about the potential culture shock of for the first time playing for someone who is not his father, there were opportunities that Shador Sanders could have taken there. He seemed to feel as if he was in an elite category where he could choose the few teams he wanted to go to.
That's Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network on Shador Sanders, of course, who slid into day three, where he was ultimately selected by the Cleveland Browns, and he'll get a chance in Cleveland. I think I get the not wanting to negotiate with Dion the agent. Is that a compelling reason to ignore NFL talent? I don't know. That's for these teams to figure out. You'll certainly get plenty of hot takes both ways on that. He's good, deal with it, or he's not good. He's not good enough to deal with that, essentially. Nobody's suggesting he doesn't have talent. I think he's got loads of talent. It's the everything else. I think we're in Tim Tebow range here. I know that's a strange comparison there, right? Tim Tebow and Shador Sanders. Tim Tebow had talent, unquestionably. Tim Tebow won an NFL playoff game, which only a small number of people who have ever quarterbacked in the NFL can say. Dramatic playoff win as well. Yet, everybody said that the circus was not worth dealing with the everything else, which sure feels like that's what I heard on the Shador, right? Shador comes into these meetings, he's disinterested. And it's not, oh, you know, you're good enough, we're going to make this work. There's very few people in that camp, right? The Steelers are trying to figure out if Aaron Rodgers is in that camp, where he's a circus. Is everything worth it? Are you going to get performance equivalent to that? And with Shador, the conclusion they came to was no. He's in the meetings. He's disinterested. What makes you think he's going to be interested when he gets there? And, you know, I don't know that. I'm sure there were some people cheering the downfall. I felt bad for the kid as it was going on. But if that's the way he's approaching his pre-draft, and by the way, this isn't like we're not retweeting some rando on Twitter. This is the NFL Network. It's quite literally owned by the NFL. There are reasons here. The other thing I saw was the owners are colluding, which you saw with Cap. You know, they wanted to make him Kaepernick, not Tebow, right? They want this to be the second coming of Colin Kaepernick, who was blackballed from the NFL for very different reasons. Tim Tebow, of course, you know, nobody was going around to the owner saying don't sign Tim Tebow. They just all independently came to that conclusion. This is Tim Tebow 2.0, not Colin Kaepernick 2.0. Just to be clear, this is not the owners did not collude on this. The owners did not get together and say we're not drafting the guy. They just come to that independent conclusion when you're meeting with the guy. If he's disinterested, if he's not giving you his A game and evaluation, what makes you think he's going to be a team player out there? And if his agent is his dad and his agent is one of the most famous guys in the world, that's not good either because you're going to be hearing from him. You want the intermediary. You want the buffer. You want there to be somebody between you and the guy's dad, right? You want the agent who you can communicate with and he can communicate with the player and with the family. If you don't have that, things can get messy, right? Baseball arbitration. That's why you have the agent. The agent goes in and hears all the, oh, you're not worth it, so that the player doesn't have to. If there's a message to be delivered, they can deliver it the other way a little more graciously and a little more gracefully. But that's, of course, not what we have here. We've got a very involved parent, in this case, you know, Deion Sanders, serving as essentially the agent here. So communication's going through him. Is he going to be receptive to a message of, we need your guy to do this and this. We need him to do this extra work. We need him here for this optional activity. So those are questions that I think NFL teams each individually came to their own conclusion on. And you heard the Tom Pelissero report. I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything scandalous here. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any shenanigans. I don't think there's any league-wide collusion, any league-wide conspiracy. I think this is a dude who didn't do very well in the pre-draft process And when every team circles, now we're not doing it, it takes a while before the Cleveland Browns finally come around and do it. By the way, that draft room did not look happy at all when they made that decision there. I wouldn't look happy either if I was in the Cleveland draft room. We got to get to a break. We're flying towards 11 o'clock. We are going to take you out live to the RFK Stadium press conference announcement of a new home for the Washington Commanders. Looking forward to that. We'll be at Capitol Ale House starting when the doors open at 11:30. Come visit us. Get a Commanders rally towel. We'll be there. AWOL will be there through 3 o'clock. Great program for you. Don't you even think about going anywhere. Right back after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.